24 and verse 15. I do want to remind you, Miss Kim wants to meet with the ladies after the service, and man, if we could meet just a minute. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us this evening. Lord, you know every need, you know every heart. God, you know what's going on in our lives. We do pray for our country, our leaders. We pray for what's going on there in Israel. Our hearts go out to the people that are involved and all that's going on. We sure thank you, Lord, we can trust you in the midst of these situations. But tonight, I pray that you'll take this verse and apply it to all of our hearts and lives, and we'll give you the praise and honor and glory. We thank you for how you're working and moving, and Lord, I pray you to continue to do so. And we pray for those who are home and not feeling well this evening. We thank you. They can watch online. And we pray for those who maybe are away from you and in need to get back. We pray for them. We just pray for your blessing now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And all of God's people said, Genesis or Isaiah 24, and I've done called it Psalms and Genesis. I'll get to Isaiah here. But Isaiah 24 and verse 15, I want you to notice with me this one verse. And look what it says. It says, wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea. Glorify ye the Lord in the fires. Now, the last several Sunday nights, we've been kind of talking about going through the valleys and the darkness and the hard times and those things in our life sometimes that can be a lesson or a hard time or a time where we're trying to learn something. This is a unique mode of expressing tonight, church, a lesson really on all of our religious experience. One of the things that you learn about being a Christian is that sometimes we go through the fires. It's not always everything is great and good. I mean, if you watch the television preacher, like, man, if you get in church, if you'll do this, then everything will go good in your life. But that is not true to the Christian experience. In fact, the Bible talks about in Philippians the fellowship, the power of his resurrection, absolutely, but the fellowship of his sufferings. We don't just have the power of the resurrection, and we do have that, but we have the fellowship of his suffering. And I say to you tonight that many times the Christian that's in the fire, when we glorify God in that fire, that is the greatest place to glorify the Lord. Now, we see here this statement is packed with literary gems. I mean, when you think about what this means, we see some descriptions, and I won't get into all the text here of Isaiah 24, and it is to the nation of Israel, but you and I can peer over the shoulder into the book of Isaiah and much of the Old Testament, and we've got great lessons that we can learn. We see here some descriptions of going through the fire. Look, it says, behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste, verse 1 of chapter 24, and turneth it upside down and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. We see here this description. We see the power of the Lord. If you drop down and look at verse 2, it says, and it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. We see here that's a universal thing. In other words, everybody. You may look at someone tonight and say, man, they just never went through it. You never know what somebody's going through tonight. How many of you know that you never know what somebody else is going through? You may say, well, they've had it easy. Must be nice to have a life that they have. And you never know what secret thing they're battling, what something, some fire that they've went through. So we see this. Look at verses 4. Again, this is talking about the nation of Israel, what's going on in Israel. I'm pulling a little bit out of its context, but the Bible says the earth mourneth and fadeth away in verse 4. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. Now I'm not going to get into prophecy tonight. I know Brother Kevin's doing that in Sunday school in the book of Revelation. But we know what the Bible says about some of these things. We see this as a time of judgment. Verse 7 says, the new wine mourneth, the vine languisheth, all the merry hearted do sigh. The myrrh of tabrets ceaseth, the noise of them that rejoice endeth, and joy of the harp ceaseth. They shall not drink wine with a song. Strong drink shall be bitter to them to drink it. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up and no man may come in. There's a crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The myrrh of the land is gone. And the city is left desolation. And the gate is smitten with destruction. We see here this, there's a silence here. There's a fire that's taking place. And it's a time of judgment. In fact, it goes on and says, there's a great earthquake. Verse 13, when thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree and as the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done. They'll lift up their voice. They shall sing with majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore, our text, glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea. Glorify ye the Lord in the fires. Israel was in their trouble, and they're going to have coming trouble. And we see this, what's going on even today. But here tonight, we are tonight, church, God's people. We've been joint heirs with Jesus. We've been engrafted in. And the believer, the person that trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are going through some fires. The Bible tells us this. Job goes into great detail. Our prayer list tonight is full of people that are going through fires. Some right here in our church family, losing family members and loved ones and spouses even this week. Folks getting ready to go through a fire. I heard it said years ago, you're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or getting ready for a storm. We're praying for folks getting ready to have surgery. Some folks in our old church that are very faithful, sick tonight even. And we never know what somebody's going through. And so what do we do? How do we do this when we think about glorifying the Lord in the fire? Well, I want to talk to you two things tonight. Well, first, I want to give you the danger when you go through the fire and then the directions when you're in the fire. Now, again, I'm pulling this a little bit out of the context of where it's at in Isaiah. But the principle and the application can be to us tonight when we go through the fires. There is a danger tonight. Let's talk about this danger. That when we go through some struggle or some trial in our Christian life, in fact, I think sometimes we don't always, and I as a pastor don't always do the best job, I guess you could say, of preparing people of getting ready to go through a fire. We knock on doors, invite people out to church. We call people, text them, and hey, won't you come to church? We'd love to have you. We want to see you in church. And man, our church, I guess y'all have noticed Sunday mornings, and we're growing. A lot of folks are coming. New faces. It's kind of hard to keep up with it all. It's exciting for me as a pastor. But one of the things we have to do is remember that fires and troubles and tribulations come. How do you know what I'm talking about tonight? And even those of us who are believers, we might even tell our children as much as we should that the fires are going to come. In fact, when I have counseling for young couples that are getting ready to get married, I usually always say, now, are you ready? Are you ready when things don't go good? Are you ready when life starts to change? Are you still going to love them then? And we bring all that out. And they look at me like, man, don't be so negative, but the truth is the truth. There's a danger tonight, church, of not glorifying the Lord in the fires. How many of us know? You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to say anything. But I think most of us know. I should say it that way. If I went around this room tonight, most of us know a Christian, a believer, maybe even a preacher, serving God, on fire for God, and they went through a fire. And instead of glorifying the Lord and getting closer to God, they're far away from God now. Something happened, and by the way, that something may be real and true. I like Oliver B. Green said this in a message I heard many years ago. Sunlight does two things. Of course, he was talking about the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, but it does two things. It'll melt ice and it'll harden clay. That's the way fire is sometimes. Fire can melt ice, but it'll also harden clay. And sometimes when we go through these struggles and trials, I don't know how many times I've visited people or trying to get them back to church, and they'll tell me some scenario, and I'm like, you know, that's a pretty serious fire. I've prayed many times as a pastor, Lord, I can't fix that. I don't know what I can do to fix that. But there is a danger tonight that even in the fire, instead of glorifying God, we develop some things in the fire. You know, in the military, in wartime, they talk about having, the 1,000-yard stare. Those men would come off the front lines, just they had seen so much, they would look through your soul almost. It was like they were looking off. They had a different look. Sometimes I've seen preachers and Christians that have been in the ministry for a while. Well, they just have that look like, well, they've been through it. They used to call it being shell-shocked. And sometimes even in God's in walking with the Lord, there's a danger. And here's some of the things. I come across this when it comes to having a wrong spirit. Here's four things that we're in danger of when you go through the fire. I'm going to help you just a little bit, just tonight, and we'll go home. First of all, we have the danger of becoming selfish in the fire. Because here's what happens. You're going through something. If you're like me, I do this. Now, maybe you don't do this. Maybe you don't do this. But when I'm in the midst of the fire, I will say this. And sometimes I've literally said it out loud. Some of y'all have been around me, maybe even heard me say this before. And I'm not bragging about this. In fact, I'm ashamed of this. But I'll say something like this. Why me, Lord? I'm down here, it's 32 degrees. I'm trying to start this bus. Brothers, y'all got the wrong key. I am wore out. My head's hurting. And oh, by the way, there's Easter eggs all in it, but I could go on and on. How many I'm talking about? Brother Gerald's laughing because he knows exactly what I'm talking about. I'm going, oh, it's just a start. And I get to the point in the fire sometimes, I'm like, well, this isn't fair. Well, I mean, what it is, if we're not careful, in the fire we can become selfish. We start, when I say selfish tonight, we become taken with our own suffering. We start looking at our own suffering instead of looking outside. Like, wait a minute, you're not the only one. This isn't just your world. There are other people in it. Other things are going on. It rains on the just and the unjust. It isn't just your crop that's failing. It isn't just your bus that's not starting. This is the condition of this world sometimes. Another danger we have is rebellion. Rebellion. Flying up into the face of the smiter of divine providence. In fact, that's what the nation of Israel battled all the time. If you read the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, they would say, well, we wish we were like these other kingdoms that had a king. Remember, they wanted a king put over them. The Bible gave it out of the hardness of their heart. They wanted these things, and they become in those fires instead of saying, we want God. They said, no, we want to go down to Egypt. In fact, in the book of Isaiah here, I think it's just a few chapters over, you'll see a statement, woe to them that go down to Egypt for their help, that trusteth in chariots. What they were doing, the nation of Israel was battling the same thing you and I battle, and that is, instead of looking to the God of heaven, they were looking to the things of this world. And it become, when you do that, what we do is we become rebellious. We see this all the time with young people that are raised up in godly homes. And they'll be like, well, I'm going to do what I want to do. They spurn that. And the first time something happens, instead of running to Jesus, they run away from him. And you'll notice this tonight, church, y'all know this. We don't run away from Walmart. We don't run away from our decent paying job. We don't run away from getting ice cream down at the Dairy Queen. We won't quit what we like to do, but the first place gets quit many times, we all know this, is the house of the Lord or the things of the Lord. And so rebellion starts to happen in the fire. It happens all the time. In fact, another one is this, and I hate, this is my pet peeve, so I've got to be careful not to let my own self get in the way. The don't care attitude. I wish to goodness that that never gotten popular for teenagers to say whatever. Whatever, I don't care. Oh, as soon as I hear it, I stop in my tracks and say, let's have a discussion about that. But allowing suffering to make us indifferent, careless, and fatalistic. Because we almost become like a whipped dog over in the... You ever seen an old dog's been beaten, but he'll go over in the corner. He's just went through so much that he just leave him alone. He just says, I'm tired of the battle. I'm tired of the fight. Whatever. It's just, what's the point? And we get that way. And by the way, there's been many Christians that way. What's the point? And there's a lot of points. You never know what's going to happen in somebody's life. You never know what God is doing. You never know how the Lord is going to work. And even in the midst of the fire, you don't know how God could maybe work. We can understand it. In fact, I say to you like this, many times it takes the fire to reveal what God's really doing in our lives. And I don't like the fire. I don't like the burden. I don't like the trial. I don't like the flat tire on the side of the interstate in a blizzard. I'm like everybody else. I do not enjoy these things. I do not enjoy going through trials and burdens and saying, Lord, I cannot see any good that comes from this. I do not enjoy. But we have to be warned of the dangers that when we are in these fires, whatever these fires may be, because if not, we'll get picked off. And many of you, again, tonight, if I went around this room, you probably know preachers. I know one preacher, he has a whole website, an account. It's called Former Pastor. That's the name of it, Former Pastor. And basically what he does is just make fun of preachers and make fun of church situations. But sometimes it can be funny because there's some truth in it. But whoever this is embittered toward the things of God. And in the fires, instead of drawing closer, he went away. He allowed that suffering to get to him. By the way, I don't say this tonight to reprimand anybody, because we all are prone in the fire. You never know what somebody's going through when they're in the fire. And even God's people sometimes, instead of praying for them and loving them and cheering them on or helping them back, we kind of poke the fire. We kind of want to see the ashes go up. There's a danger. So let's be careful. But there's other dangers. Satan will get a foothold and sin will start to thrive. There's a lot of things that happen. And in fact, the nation of Israel, a lot of things took place. They got to where there was no joy. We live in a world where people are trying to find all kinds of joy and they never get satisfied outside of the Lord. I saw a man the other day that I'd witnessed to many years ago. He maybe not even remember me. And I saw him and he was at a store and he had the most miserable look on his face. I could tell he didn't want to speak. So I just thought, well, I'm not going to mess with him. He's not very happy. And I thought, man, what a life to live. What a life to live in that misery, because in this world, there's no happiness. There's no joy outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's a danger. But now, let me give you some things to do here. Some directions. It's okay, preacher, you tell us it's these dangers. But what are we going to do? Because, man, going through the fires. Again, now, listen to the text. Wherefore, glorify ye the Lord in the fires. Glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea. Glorify ye the Lord in the fires. Okay, let's look at this and we'll go home. We'll give you four things. First of all, number one, by lifting up your voice in prayer. Look at verse 14. They shall lift up their voice. We can lift up our voice in prayer. In fact, can I say this tonight? Many times it takes a fire to get us to pray. You ever notice when things get real, real serious? What do we do when things are real? The other night, Mr. Tedder called me from the wreck. I don't know if y'all know this or not. He calls me and he says, hey, and he already knows this. This is what really happened. He calls us, hey, Pastor Dallas, I just want you to know I'm in a wreck. I said, okay, Mr. Tedder, are you okay? He said, not really. And he goes, he said, they're getting ready to try to cut me out of the vehicle. Well, I'm sitting there looking at the phone, like, why are you calling me? But he said this. I asked him later, you know, we've been kind of picking at it. Like, Brother Tedder, we know you're faithful, but, you know, take care of your health. We'll figure it out. But he said this to me the other day. I visited yesterday. He said, well, really, I called you because, and this really touched my heart. He says, I knew you'd pray. Whew, man. I was like, Lord, I started praying right then. Like, man, I need to pray real more. What a blessing that was. But how do we glorify him in the fire? Mr. Tedder's sitting on the side of the road, and I mean, and he's mangled up. I mean, he needs prayer tonight. And the truth of the matter was, he knew it. He said, man, I need, even in the midst of the fire. Have y'all noticed this when it gets real serious? We pray tonight for people with melanoma, right? Those doctors point. We pray for Sister Lisa. Right? I went out and visited her husband a couple of times and just went out there and prayed. Because when the fire gets the hottest, you and I all know the only thing that we really can do is pray. But what a thing that is. When the fire was getting the hot, he's getting ready to lay down his life for the world, what does he do? Praise. So number one, we can glorify him in the fire by prayer. By the way, you're talking about powerful. Think about that. In the midst, you're in a car wreck. You're on your deathbed. You, I mean, the fire is as hot as it is, and somebody prays. You think about in the book of Acts, you remember when they put those preachers in prison? And the Bible says this, they got in there and they started, anybody remember? They got in there and fussed and complained and put out a Facebook post. They wrote a sternly worded email to the manager. No, we all know what they did. They prayed. And by the way, I like what Dr. B.R. Lakin says on that. I love that. He says, and God sent down his earthquake angel. Now, we know it was an angel. Never says it's an earthquake angel. I can't wait to get to heaven and say, now, was that true or was he just saying that? We know this. That place was shaken. And shaken so much that the jailer came in. He's scared to death. And so the fear went from one side to the other because of lifting up our voices in prayer. By the way, it's not just a, oh no, we ain't got anything else to do. We really ought to be praying beforehand. Prayer is a privilege tonight. We all know this. How about this? Number two, not only lifting up our voices in prayer in the fire, but how about singing in the fires? Look what it says in verse 14 again. They shall lift up their voices. They shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall sing. Now I know sometimes it seems like the world has better music, but most great revivals that have happened throughout church history have had a very strong part of it in singing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord for him. That famous song, we've had it here, we've sang it a few times, that they sang during the great revivals in England. I mean, it is amazing, some of the music and singing the praises of Zion. In fact, one of the things that the nation of Israel did, they sang. The world wanted to hear Israel sing their praises to God. This world needs to hear us tonight sing praises. And you and I can sing even in the fire. You could sing even in the fire. I think of a young man, Dr. Tom Malone tells a story about a man that was, a young man was going soul winning. He was kind of a timid guy. And he was knocking on doors and he went to this, and they were kind of, I think some buddies here were trying to embarrass him, and they sent him to the door of a man who was a real gruff, mean man. How many of you know when I say gruff, mean man, what I'm talking about? And he knocked on the door of this little guy in Bible college, and he knocks on the door, and the guy just kind of comes up, I ain't interested in your God or your church or anything. Let's leave me alone. Well, I wish y'all would quit coming down here. Well, this young boy, he gets brokenhearted about it. And he starts singing. He's sitting there. He says this word from a song. He didn't realize it, man. He starts walking away from the door. This young man's so broken. He says, drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. My Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. Starts singing that. The man hears it. He says, son, come back. He said, sir, he said, man, you can't be singing about no drops of grief around me. Get in here. If I remember correctly, man called upon the Lord. Drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross. By the way, if you hear that verse, that's still pretty powerful. Think about that. How that comes to your mind. Hey, we can have singing in the fires. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's something that the world outside of God's people does not understand. And you say, well, I'm not a good singer. That's not what really it's about. That's really not what it's about. It's not about your ability to sing. It's about having the song in your heart because you know. Because what does singing tell you? They got in the jail and started praising the Lord because they thought, well, whatever happens, if we die, we're going to be with the Lord. If we live, God's going to give us victory. Whether we live or die, we're going to be the Lord's. Hey, let's just praise him. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Even the world that don't darken the church will say, you know, I'd like to have amazing grace played at my funeral. Why would they say that? Because they want to hear that song in the fire. How about this, number three, by walking with him in the fires. Y'all remember, we know the famous passage about the three Hebrew children with their given names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was their Babylonian names. So much so that I can always remember those names, but I don't remember their actual names. I have to go back and look at them every time. But the Bible tells them that they were cast into the fire, and when old Nebuchadnezzar looks down in there and he sees A fourth. Y'all remember that? What a wonder. I remember reading that as a kid. I said, wait a minute. Do what now? Even in the midst of the fire, here's the thing. Hey, you can walk with him in the midst of the fire. He walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share. The joy we share. I went to the bedside of Brother Frank Pittman. I think Brother Frank was the first evangelist that I had preached revival when I was the become pastor in 1999. I think it was fall of 99. And I loved to hear Brother Pittman preach. And he came here. And we were different types of people, you know. But I loved Brother Frank. Now, I remember going to his house over in Beckley to visit him. He was very sick. And in fact, he wasn't long on the earth after this. But you know what they did in right there in his room? One of the last things on this earth, he sang and praised the Lord and gave God all the glory in the midst of literally dying of cancer. You see, we can walk with the Lord in the midst of the fires. We can praise him in the midst of things. The great Spurgeon, my hero of the faith from years ago, he went through a thing called the downgrade controversy. And basically what happened is everybody went against him. We don't know any of their names. Man, he was really getting it. I mean, they were attacking him left and right. Now we look back on him and say, oh man, thank God for a man that stood when others didn't stand. Thank God for a man who stood in the midst of a downgrade. They were saying, the Bible doesn't matter, and the gospel don't matter, and this don't matter, and that don't matter. And Mr. Spurgeon said, no, it does matter. And it's going to matter to these young preachers, and in time it's going to matter to our whole nation. It's a famous thing in theology and in church history. But in the midst of it, he walked with the Lord in the midst of those fires. And tonight, when you and I are going through whatever it is we may go through, and again, I don't make light of that, you and I can walk with him in the fires. And by the way, when you walk with him in the fires, that brings me to the number four here tonight. You can leave without even the smell of fire on you. Y'all remember that? Here's the great thing. Sometimes we get in the world and man, it beats us up, you know. Man, we got a dent in our armor here and a dent over here and smoke in our eyes, and man, we're just all tore all to pieces. And in fact, those three Hebrew children, they lived without the smell of fire. In fact, we don't even have to have any ill or hurt upon ourselves in the midst of the fire. God brings us out. He brings us out on the other side. He says, yeah, but preacher, you know what I've been through. But if we will trust him in the midst of the fire, you and I can do this, whatever the fire is. Now, as we close tonight, you say, preacher, why? Why would this matter? Why is this important? And let me just say this to you. When we study this, and you can read this whole passage. Look at verse 14. It says, they shall lift up their voice. Look at this. They shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea. I like that word tonight. We won't close. I want you to have this. We sing a little song sometimes in choir majesty. The reason you and I need to trust him in the fires and glorify the Lord in the fires is because of his majesty. It's because of him. It is because of him. Yeah, I'm a big history buff, and I love studying about history, and I love the early our founding fathers, and I love the story of Henry Knox, the famous general who he loved Washington so much. If Washington said do anything, he would have done it. And according to the book that I read, whatever he said, if Washington said, yes sir, yes sir, and they called Washington His Majesty, His Excellency. They treated him in history this way because they said, we will do it because we want him to be pleased with us. And man, I read that in history like, oh man, I love that type of thing. That's just me personally. But can I say this to you? And many people do that to their king or to their queen or to their country. I was kind of raised that way. Like, hey, if you serve your country, you know, man, I had to stand, this bowing to the, bending your knee to the flag and all the anthem, man, my grandparents would have killed me for that. But let me say this to you, if we're that way about a president, and I love that, should we not be even more so for our Lord? He is true majesty. Washington's a man. He's flawed like the rest of us. Some of my heroes, even preachers, they're flawed like you and I. But let me say this to you tonight. When we go through the fires, we need to realize we ought to reflect His majesty. What is it that makes us different? I like what they said when they got the Mayflower to come over and were securing the ships. They said, why should we let you all have our ships? And they said this is a document. They said, we are not as other men. In other words, we're not going for gold. We're not going for selfishness. We're not going for vain reasons. We're going for God. We're willing to do this for the Lord. You see, it's beyond. I don't glory in tribulation. I'm like everybody else. I'm a wimp. I don't like pain. I don't want to get my sister works for a dentist. I called her and I said, hey, I need to cancel that. I don't like going to the dentist. I don't like going through the trials. I don't like having no money. I don't like being broke. I don't like putting on weight. I don't like dieting either. I don't like any of these things that we go through tonight. Hang on, I'm talking about. But when we go through these things tonight, when we think about the majesty of the Lord, the majesty of God. And I've shared this story a few times. I'll share it tonight and we'll close. I learned this early on in my ministry when I was in prison ministry. And I almost quit the ministry. I almost just quit. I was in a situation in a jail in Bedford, Virginia. And I went to and I preached on something and I really got rejected. There's about 7 or 8 men, and well, they started like, yeah, it's almost like demonic. They started yelling. I said, man, if I can't preach to guys and they're in prison, I'll do something else. I had a full ride scholarship to Liberty University. That's how I was getting through college. And I went to my boss, I guess you'd say, and I said, Dr. Newman, I can't do this. It's just not me. I said, I'm not really wired this way, man. These guys are mad. I said, I don't want to make them mad. I want to see them get saved. He said, well, what happened? I said, well, and he told me. I told him what happened. And they were, get away. We don't want to hear this. Get out of here. We don't ever come back here. I mean, it was bad. I had a little mercury tracer. I'd go down 460 all by myself. I said, oh, and he said, I'll tell you what, go back with me one more time. So I went back to this little pod. What I did is I went to pods, and I'd take the same sermon, and I'd preach the sermon outline 5 and 6 times. You really learn how to preach when you do that. I remember going in there, and it was about 7 or 8 men. Dr. Newman came, and he preached. 7 men got saved in that prison cell. 7. I sat there, and I watched those men bow their head and trust Christ in that same exact place that just 7 days earlier, I was ready to give up ministry. I cried all the way home. I said, Lord, I will take it on the chin every single time. If 7 men will get saved, I'll get out of the way and give you all the glory. Because see, here's what happened. I didn't realize in the prison ministry, when I came back, they gained great respect. When I kept showing up and said, oh, wait a minute, they're serious. It wasn't me. I said, this thing is the real thing. And I remember in that prison ministry, I remember this guy's name was Leroy Parnell. He's an African-American man. He didn't have any of his teeth in the front. But for some reason, he and I become great friends. And he would walk with me to every cell and tell everybody, y'all shut up preachers here. And I sat there and I started all of a sudden thriving. I almost quit the whole ministry, but I went through those fires. And I'd come home with just tears in my heart and eyes. I said, oh God, if this is what it's about, this is what I want. And so whatever fire you're going through, it is to bring Him, it's to do it for His majesty. So what I learned right there is, hey, Dallas, it's not about you. It's about Him. It's not about a denomination. It's about the Lord. It's not about my feelings. It's about God's glory. Because one thing I learned through that whole thing, I was still not a great preacher. I still had a lot to learn. But one thing I learned through that is that God got all the glory. And what I learned is, hey, let's make sure we always give Him the glory. Even in the midst of the fire. I hope this helps you tonight. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Lord, it's bared my heart tonight. Lord, I pray we'd be a church that gives You all glory. That in the fire we look to Your majesty. God, You've been so good to us. Help us to glorify you in our life. Help us remember that many times that's what's going to reach others. And Lord, I thank you that I know there's a group here tonight that loves you. And that's why they're here on Sunday night. I pray you'd encourage them. And whatever the fire, it could be a fire of health. It could be something mental or emotional that nobody sees or knows. It could be something they don't even understand. It could be this old wicked world around us that's got them discouraged and frustrated. Oh my, how it's so easy to become that way. And so Lord, I pray tonight that you'd help us. Help somebody tonight, even in these fires. Not to give in to the flesh and the old world around us, but Lord, to bring honor to you, to sing and to lift up their voice even in the midst of the fire, to praise you even in the midst of the struggle. God, help us tonight that even in the fires we'll praise you. With every head bowed and every eye closed as the piano starts to play, and we'll just give you a time to maybe come or pray where you're at. Maybe some are watching at home and say, Lord, help me in the fires. Help me. I'm going through the struggle. Maybe nobody knows about it. Or maybe you know someone else that's going through a fire. You may say, preacher, I want to help them. Hey, pray for them tonight. Love on them. Go to them. Pray for them. Do something to help them, encourage them. Let's sing a verse, Brother Dave.
308.
Let's surrender to the Lord tonight. Say yes to him. We'll close tonight.